once again to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. You know what we do here. We just love our Lord and we just love to sit around and talk about Him. So, who wants to open in a word of prayer, Mike? My beloved husband.
Well, Mike.
Well, I'm going to have
you must be special.
I'm going to have to dodge the bus first. Lord, thank you for this day.
Yes.
Thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name and discuss you, Father. Because that's what we all want to do. We all want to learn more about you. Yes. Father, thank you for this day, for Kath and I, for 40 years. Unbelievable. Yeah. And give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen.
Well, I kind of tried to listen. My iPad is kind of out of commission for a while. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be using my phone today. Mm-hmm. And we're in Matthew. It looks like you guys got to chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really great. Is there anything in the first 8 verses that you guys want to go over? Or shall we start with verse 9?
Yeah, we went down to about 9 or 10. Yeah.
Did you? Okay. Mm-hmm. And
did we do 9 or 10 with the withered? We didn't do that.
Yeah, I think we did.
About the man with the withered hand.
Oh, maybe we didn't get that far. We might have got to 8 then.
I read the 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so we're starting at 8 in Matthew, but he's reading, and...
8 or 9, what is it?
Oh, at 9.
Start with 8, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. There's a lot right there we can talk about. Mm-hmm. Who is the Son of Man? And, okay, then you want to go to... Let's stop at 13, okay?
All right. We're in Matthew chapter 12, starting
yes.
at verse 9. And going on from there, he went into their synagogue. Mm-hmm. And behold, a man was there with one withered hand. And they said to him, Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. Mm-hmm. But he said to them, what man is there among you if he has only one sheep and it falls into a pit or ditch on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Mm-hmm. How much better and of more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful and allowable to do good on the Sabbath day. Then he said to the man, reach out your hand. And the man reached out, and it was restored as sound as the other one. That was 13. You want me to go any further?
Okay, go out one more.
But the Pharisees went out and held a consultation against him, how they might do away with him.
Okay, let's go to 17. I'm sorry. I was just kind of...
But being aware of this, Jesus went away from there, and many people joined and accompanied him. Mm-hmm. And he cured all of them, mm-hmm. and strictly charged them and sharply warned them not to make him publicly known. This was in fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah.
Saying, I guess one more.
One more.
I'm not very well prepared.
Behold,
my servant.
Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved in and with whom my soul is well pleased and has found its delight. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim and show forth justice to the nations.
The King James says judgment to the Gentiles.
Gentiles.
To the Gentiles. And yours says justice to all nations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, the Gentiles were anybody that wasn't a Jew.
Right.
That's basically what the Gentiles were.
Right.
You know.
I love the way it says judgment,
yeah,
and reveals the true nature of that word when he says justice.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference in the words, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He really goes on through when you say what he, the prophet Isaiah was saying. From 17 goes really down on here, showing what he's saying, unto 21. Mm-hmm. That's part of what he was saying, you know.
Yeah, I could read further. He went down to 21.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he will not stride or wrangle or cry out loudly, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smothering, dimly burning whip he will not quench, till he brings justice and a just cause to victory. And in and on his name will the Gentiles, the people outside of Israel, set their hopes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Strong's definition of that word Gentiles is it's a race of the same habit, a tribe, especially foreign, non-Jewish, one usually by implication pagan, Gentile, heathen, nation, and people. So basically that's, you know, that takes in everybody that's not a Jew.
Yeah,
basically.
It does.
You know, but you know,
Isaiah chapter 42, it says the same thing,
mm-hmm,
as starting from 18 in Matthew 12, but in verse 4 in Isaiah chapter 42, he said, he will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the inlands and coastal regions shall wait hopefully for him, expect his direction and law.
In scripture, the fullness of the Gentiles.
So is that taken in the people that are not Jewish?
Yeah. Well, Strong's gave that definition of basically it was saying everybody that wasn't a Jew, basically. I mean, if you want to put a paraphrase it,
mm-hmm,
you know. You have to realize that God had a plan that, you know, the Jews tried to follow the law and could not follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Neither could anybody else. The Gentiles began to follow him by faith as they were called. And there was a scripture in Romans 11 chapter that talks about, you know, that until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, you know, it says Paul observation. Well, let me go to it.
So where are you reading Romans what?
Romans chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Romans chapter 11. And here's what he says. He says, I say, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Funny that he's the tribe of Benjamin, son of the right hand. You know, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Woe ye, woke you not. The scripture saith in Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged out thy altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this time, present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more by works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it's by works, but if it be by works, then it is no more grace, otherwise it is no more works. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeked, but the election hath obtained it, they that were elected. And the rest were blinded, I guess it is blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumbering eyes that they should see, and ears they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompensant, that their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow their heads back away. And I say, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, for rather through their fall is salvation come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them unto jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. If by any means I should provoke or to emulation them which are by the flesh, might save some of them. For the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump also is holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches broken off, thou being wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, with them partakers of the root, the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not thyself the branches against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root bears you. In other words, you know, this is not of your own doing, it's because of the root of himself, of God. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, at least he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also that abide not still in unbelief shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut off, I'm reading this whole thing because the whole thing deals with that. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in to nature unto the good olive tree, how much more shall these be the natural branches to be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should not be wise in your own conceits, and blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's way talking about the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. You know, Jesus stood up one time and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I gather you as a mother hen does gather her brood, and you would not. And then he also turned around and said, your house is less desolate unto you until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Guess who's going to come in the name of the Lord? We are. When we come in the name of the Lord and we really truly begin to minister love, you know, Christians for a long time, years and years ago, used to almost act like they hated the Jews because they crucified Jesus. But if Jesus hadn't been crucified, there'd be no forgiveness of sin. I mean, it's that simple, you know, because that was all part of God's plan, that he take our place on the cross. So, you know, but even to this day, you know, not all Christians like Jewish people. You know, some still, you know, feel hard toward them because they crucified Jesus. But anyway, if you know, that whole chapter, if you read it, it's really good. Because
they fulfilled what God had for them to do.
They did. Yes. He knew that, you know, Jewish people, don't get me wrong, and I'm not just, Jewish people are usually very intelligent. Mm-hmm. They are very intelligent people. And they have done a lot of things in science and things and figured out, I mean, Einstein was a Jew, you know, he figured out the theory of relativity and all that. They figured that there was atoms before anybody ever saw an atom, you know, an actual A-T-O-M, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of atom. And that theory of relativity is what made them be able to make the atomic bomb. They did something they weren't supposed to do. They actually separated an atom. And when they separated an atom, it was going to create a tremendous amount of power. Well, guess what held that atom together? I believe God did.
Yes.
You know, and you know, that's why it was such an awesome power when it blew apart, you know. But you know, so when you realize you can't go around acting proud because God chose you, because you were chosen by grace, and you came to him by grace and by faith. Mm-hmm. And blindness, it says, was given to them in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, I don't think the fullness of the Gentiles has totally come in yet, mm-hmm. but it's getting there. Yes, it's getting there.
Hallelujah.
You know, but
I think it really puts an exclamation point on, yeah. for me, the fact that even if, especially if you don't know it, even when you are opposed intellectually to what God is doing, you are doing the will of God whether you realize it or not, because nothing can stop the will of God from being
right.
accomplished.
Right. That's right.
Ephesians chapter 1 says, you know, he does these things because of his own pleasure.
Yeah.
He has done these things, and he will continue to do these things. And he will save who he wants to save.
Yeah.
And he wants to that every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
And I always think of Pharaoh. He thought he was doing his own will, and ha, 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 you were doing the will of God.
Yeah.
And even those that opposed God, even those that held, St. Paul, who held the clothing of the people who were stoning Stephen, even those who are opposed to everything godly, even those who are leaning on their intellectual relationship with a higher power, and who don't know the loving relationship of yourself with God and your oneness with God, these people are still fulfilling the law of God, whether they know it or not, and that lets you know that nothing can stop what God has ordained, and it will be perfect love shown to whomever he desires. So don't judge, just love, because love is all there is in God, and we are in him and he is in us. Sorry, I kind of got
no, that's good. No,
wow.
That's good. Romans in the 9th chapter basically says, who hath resisted his will? You know,
and
said he even rose Pharaoh up for that very purpose, you know, mm-hmm. that his glory might be seen in the earth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God works all, in what you quoted in Ephesians, the Lord showed me that when I first got saved, and it was like it just jumped off the page at me, where it says, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And I remember I went into a Sunday school class because Audrey kept prodding me to come into that Sunday school class, and because I was just sitting back, I wasn't doing anything, you know. And I went into that Sunday school class, and they were talking, and I said, the scripture says that God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And I had one of the elders in the church back then actually say, you can't mean that. I said, well, that's exactly what the scripture says. You know. But there you go. I hate to put it this way, but sometimes he hides these things from the wise and the prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. Because when I was seeking the Lord, I was saying, Lord, you got to teach me. You got to lead me. You got to guide me. I'm reading this stuff, and I don't know what I'm reading. You know, I don't understand it. And I'm going to tell you what, he started opening things up to me left and right that I didn't even hear preached for many years. The next time I heard that preached was when Ray Prinzing came to this church years later. But Brother Eddie never preached on that particular scripture. And years later, Ray Prinzing came, and he was talking about God working all things after the sovereignty of God, working all things after the counsel of his own will. And I'm sitting there saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, somebody's finally bringing this thing forward, you know. And even Brother Eddie struggled with that for a while, you know. And then he started teaching that later on, you know. But, you know, whatever God reveals to you, he just reveals it to you. And it's wonderful that he does. It's not for you to feel puffed up or that you're somebody special or something. It's just that he reveals to you what he wants you to see at a particular time. And when the time is right, other people will see it, you know. And that's like this stuff about every knee bowing, every tongue confessing. Every is every. It's not a few. It's not a couple. It's every. And what did we all do to get saved? Spiritually, we bowed our knee and confess that he was our Lord and Savior. You know, that's what we did. We acknowledged his presence of God. Now, and as we went on through our revelation of him, we found out he wasn't a God afar off, and he didn't come down, but that he dwelled inside of us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, that scripture says, who'll go up to bring him down, or down to bring him up? A word of faith is where? It's nigh thee, even in your heart and in your mouth, see? And that's where we have to confess what God's word declares, not what our situations and circumstances say, you know. But, I tell you, I was just going to go back for just a second. In verse 8, you know, because you mentioned that, the Son of Man. You had a question about that. Jesus identified himself as the Son of Man. And he identified himself as the Son of Man because until we could come to the revelation of that he was God and he identified himself with man, then we as man could identify ourselves with God. Mm-hmm. See, that he was bringing us into the heritage there. You know, he was the new creation man. The fulfillment of what God said in Genesis when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. The picture of that is right there. And when you read in Romans, the first and second chapter, not Romans, Hebrews, the first and second chapter, you'll see where it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him. And that was out of the Old Testament. And he says, you made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory. You set him over all the works of your hands. Put all things under his feet. And said, but we don't yet see all things put under his feet. Mm-hmm. But what we do see is Jesus, because everything was put under his feet. You know, that's why he could speak to any of the illnesses. He could walk on water. He could do everything that we at this point haven't come into the fullness of that yet. But that doesn't mean we're not going to. I believe we will. But, you know. But anyway, I just thought I'd talk about that a little bit, because he identified himself as the Son of Man. And man could never believe that he could be a son of God until he saw Jesus as the Son of God identifying with man. Then we, in turn, come as a man and identify with God. We go 180 degrees the other way, see. But he's the pattern son. He was the pattern. And when we see him, you know, and understand who and what he was and what he did, then we can believe that we can do that same thing in the reverse, you know.
There in Matthew 12 and verse 18, mm-hmm. and that's where it starts quoting Isaiah, "Behold my servant." Now, is he talking about Jesus there, or is mm-hmm. he talking about Christ in us, the hope of glory? "Whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles, and he shall also show justice to the Gentiles." I think, you know, that thing of Christ in us mm-hmm. will someday, and I hate to talk about time, because I think that time shall be no more when we enter into that fullness. And I totally lost my train of thought there. "I will put my spirit upon him," and I think that also means within him.
Yeah.
"And he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." We are coming into a place where when we realize that Christ is so within us and we are so within Christ, mm-hmm. that it'll be like salt and water when it's fully homogenized together. We won't know where Christ ends and we begin.
That word there in Strong's, upon,
mm-hmm.
is the word epi. It's EP/EE. That's epi, I guess that's how you would pronounce it. Primary preposition, properly meaning a super imposition of time, place, and order.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a time, place, and order that he's going to put upon man. And that time, place, and order is that he's going to reveal who and where he dwells.
Mm-hmm.
We're the temple of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're all of those things, but we have to come to a place where we totally believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And as we come into the full belief of that, then I believe that's when we'll be really come into a place of entering into his rest.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to enter into that rest as long as we fluctuate back and forth, you know.
He shall go no more out.
Yeah. And what's a double-minded man? Scripture say about a double-minded man?
He's unstable
in all of his ways, see? His ways, not God's ways.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do our ways instead of his ways, we're very unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have a tendency that we go in and out, you know. And we're going to have to come to that place where we go no more out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Well, the name of God, that's the nature, the character, everything that God is. You know, he's going to describe it upon you. He's going to write it upon you. When people look at you and see the real you, the Christ in you, then they're going to see God. That's why Jesus could say to them when he was standing there in front of them, you know, and they said, "Well, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient." He said, "Have I been with you so long, and you never knew me? Don't you know when I'm in the Father? Father's in me, I'm in the Father." You know, and he said, "I would that you'd be one." Basically, he was saying in another place, he said, "I would that you'd be one. As the Father's in me and I'm in the Father, I'm in you," you know. And that's the fullness of bringing that thing, us back up into that relationship. And, you know, that's the glory that he's given to us. He said, "The glory you've given me, Father, I've given it to them." I love them, you know. But a lot of times we don't believe it because sometimes we feel like we fall so short of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing about it is that's where the grace of God comes in. That's where his identity comes in. You know, when a little kid, well, their DNA, a little kid's DNA is your DNA. Your two parents. It's your DNA put in them. But when a little kid is a little kid, they're not all that they're gonna be, but they're all they are all that they are. Mm-hmm. See, they are human, they are your lineage, but yet they haven't grown to the fullness of everything that they're gonna be. And that's where the process of, you know, it's a process, you know.
They were saying, you know, like us being one, mm-hmm. they've discovered and known that a child, when you carry a child, its cells are still with the mother. When that child is born, mm-hmm. cells of that child has become part of the mother and remains mm-hmm. with the mother.
I'm glad that you said that, because I'm going to preach on that right today.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was seeing, makes me wanna cry, because I've had two miscarriages, and I think I still have this. I look at people that's had children that have even passed after mm-hmm. them, but the child is still with them. And this is what science has discovered, mm-hmm. but it's how God has had it. And I see that how he wants us in the same way to be one with him, as he is with us, and he is with the Father that we're one.
Yeah.
I was thinking while you were talking, Oscar, that God is preparing us, you know, when we come to fully understand and be of one accord and everything. But he is also preparing the Gentiles, what, you know, the way they speak, those who are not in him, or he had come upon them. So it is not for us to worry or fret. We are being prepared, but they are being prepared also. And when those two preparations come to the fullness, that's when, boy, that atom's going to split again, and there's going to be an explosion of love of God, and the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth. Oh, and the Spirit of the Lord shall reign.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't have to worry and fret about that. We just have to go day by day, each day committing our way to the Lord, each day saying, Your will, Father, not mine, be done. Show me a way that I can just show your love to someone today.
You know what you were saying about the splitting of the atom? Huh? You know, I don't think exactly where it's at. I believe it's in Hebrews, where it talks about, let me try to get it where it makes sense. Where it talks about dividing asunder both joint and marrow, yeah. and soul and spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He wants to split it, not to totally separate it, but he wants to split it to bring identification. Mm. That's what the Lord showed me a long time ago. He wants you to identify what is soul and what is spirit. And when you identify what is soul and what is spirit, what will begin to happen there, your soul being the feminine part of you, okay? The church, so to speak, you know, part of you, it will want to be married to the spirit. And that's where that scripture in Ephesians, where it talks about woman being in subjection to her husband. And you know, I love the way it says in an Amplified that she notices him, that she reverences him, she defers to him, she does this, she does that, and all this stuff. And Paul said, I'm really speaking a mystery. I'm talking about Christ in the church.
Yes.
But the things of the natural do declare the things
yes.
of the spirit, see. And I'm going to talk about that this morning too. But anyway, you know, when we come to a place that we so love him, mm-hmm. that we defer to him in everything, you know, see that she reverences him, is what it says in the King James. Mm-hmm. But the Amplified says, see that she notices him, she defers to him, and it makes it a lot stronger than just reverence, you know. But reverence is a beautiful word. And down at the old church, used to be, first time I ever went in there, they used to have a partition between the back in the front, you know, and they used to have this glass thing up there, and it had said reverence the Holy Spirit, you know, and it used to be lit up when you go in there, because
mm-hmm.
I remember that even as a little boy when I went in there one time when I was about 9 years old, and I remember seeing that. And then they had those petitions that they could pull apart if there was an overflow where people could sit in the back, you know. Well, eventually they took that all that down and stuff, but you know, it said reverence the Holy Spirit. Well, if we take what it's how the Amplified explains that we notice Him, that we defer to Him, that we do all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's saying totally be in subjection to the Holy Spirit. And when you're totally in subjection to Him, guess what? The marriage supper, it's happened in you already, you know, in that sense. And when we come to realize that, you know, that's why I don't like when people get married and when women will not take their husband's last name. It's okay if they don't, but I'm just saying there's a principle there. Do we take his last name? Do we take the name of God when we marry him? Do we take the nature, the character, the authority, and everything that goes along with that, you know? Because there's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved than Jesus, or Yahshua, if you want to put him in the Hebrew term. And you know what? we need to take that name. We need to take that nature, that character, if we're going to be married to him. I remember when me and Margaret got married, one of the first things we did after we were married after a while, she had to go get her license changed. She took my last name. We had to go to the bank, whatever, which I didn't have hardly anything in the bank. And we were pretty poor. We had to go to the bank. Her name had to be put on there, but as Margaret Bowling with my last name, you know. So there's a real principle in the natural things. And man, even in our day and age, has tried to pervert the natural things, you know what I mean? And I understand that a lot of times with women, they don't want to lose their identity. But literally what happens with us, if we don't lose our identity when we come to Jesus Christ, guess what? We're walking around in mistaken identity,
mm-hmm.
you know? That's why we don't have the authority. That's why we don't have the power. We don't have the ability to proclaim things from Mount Zion, so to speak, you know. But anyway, like
so,
I say, things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit. They really do.
When you're discussing that, I think it's so interesting. It keeps going around in my head that the soul, you know, people always talk about, oh, can you lose your soul after you've been saved? Well, our soul is our emotions and our intellect and our will.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you better lose some of that. It's just exactly the same thing as a wife, as it was an Esther who was prepared. They had to take her and prepare her for her wedding.
Right.
You know, she had to be cleaned up, and it's not losing your soul, but your soul you need to lose some things, some parts of your soul that are selfish,
mm-hmm.
that are mean spirited, that are, and we don't want those. We just have to line up with God and say, yeah, I want to come, Lord Jesus. Even so, Lord, come.
Right.
I want to be just like you when I grow up.
Right.
And we lay that stuff down,
mm-hmm.
and that's when that marriage begins to happen.
Right.
When we prefer Him,
that's right.
When we notice Him, when we want to do His will,
right.
When just all we want to do is make Him a good old bean dinner, a bean soup, because He loves beans even though you can't stand them. But, you know, that's it, when you want to please your husband,
mm-hmm.
you know, and more than yourself, you know, that to me, that is when we realize the true scope
yeah.
of what being mature and having the Spirit of God
mm-hmm.
put our soul into subjection. Nothing wrong with the soul, but we have to lose some of that stuff.
Yeah, well, see, your soul is made up of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. And when you bring those into subjection to him, and you start bringing those into subjection, he that loves his suke, his soul, will lose it. But he that loses it for my sake will gain it unto Zoe, unto the life of God. See, and that's that, there's a definite thing there. And if you lose your mind in the natural, so to speak, and I'm not saying go crazy or anything, but you lose your mind in the natural, whose mind do you get? You get his. It says, know you not that you have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And what does it mean by letting? That's not something that's forced on you.
No.
That's something that you willingly let, and you acknowledge it, see? You know, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
But really, and what is taking place is a metamorphosis.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, transition, transforming,
right,
is what is taking place. Because when you look at the soul, you look at it like the out, like the caterpillar, and then it goes through the process, and it becomes the butterfly, and we are becoming him, where it's no longer us, but it is him.
Right. That's right.
And I was sharing with my granddaughter, because I had shared some with Brother Oscar. She's given everything up. And I look at her as homeless. She looks as she's going through a crucible, which I looked up to see what that means. Then I said to her, to what end? This is it. Where you are right now is to what end?
Mm-hmm.
Enoch was so of God that he translated him and became with God. So and God was giving me that we are, as Christ has said, in the earth, but not of the earth.
That's right.
And that our daily experiences, everything we go through, everyone we meet, everything, is transforming us as we let him, just like you were saying, have his way in every part of our being, because to what end?
Mm-hmm.
He kept showing me to what end, that it's no longer us but him.
Yeah.
And that's what I see. This is what God has been showing me, even to this. God prophesied over her through Stacy Woods. She remembers this, and I don't think she remembers the word, but I looked it up as I had given it to her, and she had lost it on that. Mm-hmm. But I had taken a picture of, because I listened to it on the cassette, and then I had taken a picture. And God has told me to go back through it, to write this out plainly, you know, because it's been, and I had the date on there and everything. She was 10 years old. And I didn't want to go back to this meeting. We'd been there all day. I went home. I said, I'm not going back. And she begged me to go back. I didn't know. She didn't know. Because God had a word to speak over her life. She's had this struggle all the time. And now this is where she is. And I told her, I'll be glad when the crucible ends. Because I want to see what the results are. I do, because she truly believes this, and has truly been caught up in this, because it started out with something I shared with Brother Oscar and Buddy and Elias, and now her mother's really concerned about her. But you can't, I could hear my dad say, you cannot live other people's lives.
No, you can't.
I could hear him saying that, and I was reading. God was bringing that back to me. He was saying it to my mother, because she was worried about, just, my mother has such a real kind spirit, though, you know, it's sweet, but she worried about everybody. And he said, Harriet, if you can change it, change it. If you cannot change it, sitting and worrying about it is not doing. Because right. her sister and this so much, he said, you cannot live, and I could see that, because God spoke to me and told me, even I was so concerned about my loved ones after I got saved and looking at all the ones that were. And God said, you are not your family's salvation.
That's right.
I am.
Amen.
I am. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's so.
Well, as soon as people really realize that, what you said, it takes all of that off of you if you'll let it come off of you, you know, because we as being even parents or relatives or whatever, we want to try to grab them and help bring them up out of this thing or whatever, wherever they're at. And really, we can't do that. I mean, I love what my mother told me when I finally told her that I had given my life to the Lord. She told me, she says, well, because we rode to work every day, you know, and she said, God hid that from me. Mm-hmm. And she says, and I know why. And I said, why is that? She said, so I'd keep my hands off of it, you know.
Yes.
She says, learn to know God for yourself. Yes. Yes. Nobody else can know him for you. And that's exactly what you're saying. They're the same kind of thing, see, in the sense that you can't change somebody else. God has to be the changer. Mm-hmm. All we can do is pray for them, and it's good to pray for people, and it's good to ask the Lord to move in their lives and stuff like that. But ultimately, it comes down to him working in their life what he wants to work. And, you know.
I remember Brother Prinzing saying, he said, think of when you look at your loved one, and they're on this rope. They're going through all these circumstances and situations, and he said, but somewhere on that rope there's a knot that God has put, and they can go no further than that. So just leave them in God's hands, let him deal with as he is. And just like you were saying, the one lady was saying, God let you be where you are until he gets you to where he wants you to be. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just so many words that are just such precious nuggets, just things that he's revealing and opening, and it's just,
You know, Ray Prinzing was the one, I think, that taught us that song, you know, little by little he's changing me, line upon line he's changing me, precept by precept until I'm free. And that's Isaiah chapter 28. You know, but, you know, that's so true. It's little by little, line upon line. And in that particular scripture it says, and herein's the where you shall cause the weary to rest. You know, this is the answer, little by little, line upon line. It says, but you would not, you know. And that's where even we have to be careful that when we're dealing with somebody else, then we get our hands off. You know, we pray and stuff, and we do what we feel like God tells us to do, but we get our hands off of it. And they have to be the one to decide. We can't decide for other people, you know. And the sooner we realize that, man, we can begin to rest even in situations where, you know, we just have to acknowledge God's control and his love and his mercy. And, you know, that's about all we can do in certain situations, you know. But, well, there's been a lot of good things said here this morning.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
Buddy, would you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Father, we just thank you for your word today, Father, and for helping us understand your word, Lord.
Yes.
We give you all praise, glory, and mercy, and honor. And we thank you for who you are, Father.
Yes.
Please teach us more as we go into the next service. Mm-hmm. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.